From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. I hope I can get through an hour. Is not feeling a little under the weather, voice cracking a little bit, but we'll hopefully keep enough audible volume here with it to get through the show today. We'll talk a little bit about Ole Miss's win in Jonesboro last night, 15-8 to finish up its non-conference season, 24-2, the best mark in program history, also the fastest team in program history to 40 wins. They are 40-13, and 40 is the school record for regular season wins in a year, or in regular season, I guess you would say. That's been done several times. Ole Miss, though, has three games left, and if they don't break that record, there'll be major teeth gnashing on the RebelGrove.com.
Lord, help us all if that happens. Goodness gracious.
Need that record to fall in the next couple of days for my own sanity and everyone involved, so.
As I said, I'm cheering for a sweep.
For A&M to make Columbia, Carolina to sweep A&M?
Oh, no. I'm talking about an Ole Miss over Alabama sweep.
I was told last night that the SEC has passed where they can play on Sunday, if necessary, the last week, the last day of the regular season to get more games in. I assume that's true. Somebody told me yesterday. Okay, you gripe because they don't allow that, and now you're griping because they do allow that.
Just allow it all year.
Well, they say they have.
When was the last time that you had class on Sunday?
See, these are student athletes. They've got to study on Sundays, but the school year is over. Hence,
see,
now
this is. Let me let y'all in. If those of you who don't have ESPN9, this is how this works. He wants to get me going so that I go on some little rant so that he can later go, yeah, he's unhinged. When in reality, he's the one that's trying to set me up for the rant.
And I'm just reciting the news. I'm telling you what I heard and ask for a reaction on
some news. And I have been very consistent with this all year that the SEC rules as it pertains to college baseball and travel are stupid. You can't have.
I was trying to help you out because I think Georgia and Arkansas will get their games in, is the point.
Good. They should both just stay there and get it done. Because I bet you, games in Athens, I bet Arkansas is just going to Birmingham afterwards anyway.
You think so? Saturday to Wednesday?
They got to be there on Tuesday. I guess they go home for a couple of days.
I'd be tempted to stay, but that's a long time if you're gone the whole time. Be gone. You could be gone 10 days.
I guess they fly back and then fly back. I don't know. Just be easy to.
Arkansas has enough money to get the plane back to Fayetteville.
Well, they do have that. There's a lot of cash. Whatever. I'm glad that they should get the games in on Sunday. If the games potentially have any meaning at all. If the game has no meaning, well then kill it.
You good?
Yeah, I mean if it's like Alabama playing Tennessee on Saturday and it rains, have a pizza party and give everybody a medal and go home.
We'll continue this conversation in 1 minute. Before we do that, I'll tell you about the Oxford Exxon. I'll tell you always about the Oxford Exxon. On Highway 6 West, you get the daiquiris, lunch specials, and more. I'll tell you about the Oxford Crystal, though. You know the Craddock family, know Ben from social media, former Ole Miss player, and then through our podcast where we always talk about him. And it's not really just it's not at all speak with Ben. The Craddock family, really big on loyalty, really big on family, taking care of they're on, and they're going to do that on Thursday at the Oxford Crystal. 100% of the breakfast sales from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. is going to go to the family of one of their employees, Donna. Son Nick has been in and out of the hospital for most of his life with cystic fibrosis. Some thoughts and prayers with him, but trying to help out a member of the extended family here. So Thursday, 5 to 11 a.m., all breakfast sales to that family, a great cause. So go by, get a sunrise, get a scrambler, get a gravy and biscuit, whatever you like, and do a little bit, do your part to help out a good cause and a sad situation there at the Oxford Crystal, Highway 6 West in Oxford. And again, they have a drive-through, and maybe you're in a Clark Ford when you hit the drive-through.
Yeah, could be. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. There's no hassle. It's just easy. Get your quote, and then it's up to you. You can shop it around, look for a better quote, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, self-included, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. You get a great new Ford product, great service, delivery options, all of those things at Clark Ford in Amory. Will make the deal even better. At the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our network of podcasts, and that's $500 off. The bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
So are we talking about stupid scheduling? Is that where we were?
Sure. I don't understand why
it's
on
a step
final
in the right
weekend,
direction.
It is. It's
exams are over. They are no longer student athletes for the next couple weeks. They're just athletes. They're athlete students now, not student athletes. The athlete comes first, finally.
Oh, shoot. You do realize that.
By the way, credit to Nick Fortes, seriously, the Ole Miss catcher. He graduated in 3 years as a baseball player. It's pretty impressive. Just noticed that over the weekend. They had several seniors graduate, but Fortes graduated as a junior. That's kind of impressive.
In many ways, if you take advantage of the opportunity, and that's a big if, the whole road trips and stuff are more conducive to studying.
Baseball's biggest negative, though, is if they're out in the Cape, they're not taking summer school, so it takes hours away from you that
right.
you normally take in different
right.
sessions and whatnot. But, yeah, absolutely. So, Ole Miss, again, 40-13, 16-11, headed to Tuscaloosa this weekend. They played okay against Arkansas State last night. They hit multiple home runs for the seventh time in 9 games. Tyler Keenan had his third game in a row with a home run, and again fastest in program history to 40 wins as they're 24-2 in the non-conference. You know, it's I gotta ask a lot this morning, last night, is this kind of what you expected? And I'm only off by a couple games on kind of what I thought they would be. I think I predicted 21-5 in the non-league and 17-13 in the league, so 38 wins. They've passed that. They're probably going to pass that by several. I thought they'd be a host. I did not necessarily think they'd be in the national seed discussion at this point. But the crazy part is how they've done it. The pitching staff has been duct tape and Band-Aids and WD-40 at times throughout the year, and they've just hit all season. They've had huge steps from an offensive standpoint. They've played pretty good defense, and they have slugged their way to wins. They are the second or third best offense in the SEC, probably. I think Arkansas is probably a little better. But a really, really good offensive team that's tough, 1-9. There's not easy outs in this lineup. And they've gotten a lot of bench production. I mean, you look at Michael Fitzsimmons, he hadn't gotten a lot of opportunities, but he's done the most with them. They've been able to insert and plug. And the big thing is when they've had injuries and guys out for whatever reason, somebody's come in and not been a hole in the lineups. And they've got the big bat with, you know, from an average standpoint at least, Olenek hitting what he is hitting. So that is the surprise to me, is just how they've gone about it. Because if you just said, hey, look, Wolfolk's going to be off the team by basically May. Starting pitching is going to be hit or miss at times throughout the season. And you're going to really, really count on Parker Caracci. No offense to Parker. I would have thought, oh, my God, this thing has gone off the rails. And instead, they figured out a way to piece it together, to put it together. And as of right now, from a resume standpoint, they've got the best resume in school history going with 3 games remaining.
I know a guy who a year ago said that those young kids – would be a lot better as sophomores than they were as freshmen because they would make the adjustment. Because the talent was there, they just got a little shock. I know that guy. Pretty smart guy.
You were on that.
No, in all seriousness, as it gets warm too, teams that hit, they become even more dangerous.
Look, bats travel.
Well, bats travel, and it's more fun to hit when it's 85 degrees than it is when it's 35 degrees. If you've never hit, take my word for it. If you have ever hit, and I don't mean hit well. I mean hit. You know what I'm talking about.
You would like to feel your hands when it's over. So it's a plus when it's
when
a little
warmer
outside.
When you get jammed.
Ball moves a little more.
Yeah, the ball is just a little different jump.
Same thing with golf. You'd much rather play in 90-degree weather with the balls going about a club longer.
Yeah, see, so if I had played my round in 90-degree weather instead of what 20-something degree weather, I might have shot a 145 instead of a 155.
Was it 151?
I can't remember.
I think it was 151. I ran across the scorecard the other day. We actually miscounted your number of putts. You had a couple more putts than we had put on the card, but I think it was 151. You lost 11 balls. So you played with a dozen golf balls for the round. Did not have to crack open a second dozen.
I know. That was an accomplishment.
You think that was an accomplishment?
Absolutely.
You hit one fairway.
Yeah, and I came close on another couple.
You did. We gave you one fairway.
Well, I had one legitimate fairway where the ball was literally in the fairway.
It was right in the middle. Good shot.
Son of a.
If Jonathan's not around, you probably shoot 165. I think he saved you 10 to 15 strokes.
Probably.
With his playing and then his caddy ability to help you in spots.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because we probably would have hung you out to dry a little more than Jonathan did.
Yeah, and he gave me some tips. Hey, try to hit it there, and I did.
And a lot of putting off the green, not a lot of wedges, not a lot of chipping. Just putt it. Just get it on the green and then try to get it in the hole.
Yeah. Now, had I done that from the very start, it might would have been.
Ooh. Ooh.
If I had just said, I'm not going to use a wedge, I'm just going to use a putter. Let it be.
We're going to do the ground game.
Yeah. We're going to take your putt-putt experience and put it to work.
Don't ask me how I got here, but I was looking at something on YouTube yesterday and stumbled across the world championships of putt-putt.
Yeah.
They were really, really good, but I'll be honest, they weren't as good as I kind of expected them to be, if that makes sense. They were great. They were really good, but it was dudes that I thought, you put them on a golf course, and I don't think they'd be great putters. I think they just would be great putt-putt putters. There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a difference for sure.
Yeah, anyway.
I'm pretty good at putt-putt.
I tell you, the one thing that kind of does translate, you made a lot of your 2.5 to 4.5 footers.
Yeah.
Where you're just kind of keeping everything level
and
lined.
Keep it nice and easy.
Yeah.
Stay calm.
You were okay with those.
Yeah.
You might have been better off bringing a putt-putt putter to the golf course.
The thought crossed my mind.
Did it?
It did.
I don't know where you would have gotten one around here, but sure. Just a thought.
It's a shame Oxford's not a little bigger and could support a putt-putt course.
You'd be all in.
Oh, I'd go for sure.
Would you?
Yeah, for fun.
Okay.
I'm easily entertained. I saw the Avengers the other day.
Yeah, I told you. I'm just not a comic book movie guy.
So I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. I didn't know who all the people were. Characters.
Why? You didn't study up going in?
I didn't. I wish kind of had. There were a couple of attractive female characters.
Looking around the SEC and the landscape last night, Auburn took another loss on the chin, losing to Troy 9-5 in Troy last night. So they've now lost 4 in a row, 5 in a row, something like that.
4 in a row?
Yeah. Everybody else looks like they came out unscathed. We had, as you mentioned, the cancellation between Presbyterian and Georgia. Bulldogs weren't real interested there. Everybody else won except for North Carolina, who's also in the national seed conversation. They lost to UNC Wilmington last night. I don't know what that game was, but either way, Wilmington was 90-something in the RPI. I think Ole Miss is 8 in the RPI as of this morning, if I have that right. Here's the deal. Ole Miss can't help what those numbers look like at this point. You go win the games, and you're probably going to fall out of the top 8, but that's not the end of the world. There is no prerequisite that says you have to be in the top 8 of the RPI to get a national seed.
Nope.
Just win games. Win as many as you can win and look up and see where you are.
Ole Miss has how many wins right now? 40?
They have 40. They're 40-13.
They're 16-11 in the league.
They are.
If they go to Hoover, say 42-14, 18-12, they're going to go to Hoover very much on the bubble for a national seed. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And frankly, if you're still playing on Saturday in Hoover, you're probably good. Because it means
you're probably fine on Friday, but yeah, Saturday is when you would definitely go, okay, this thing's.
Right. If you were to win Wednesday, lose Thursday, lose Friday, it might be a little anxious moment or two. If you win Wednesday, lose Thursday, win Friday, play Saturday, you're probably perfectly
well. Because remember, we never said that it was there was requirements from a number standpoint. I was giving you precedence.
No, you said it was requirements. And so if they don't win 20 and they get a national seed, you were wrong. You were wrong. And you will wear a big W on your shirt.
And who out there thinks Ole Miss is going to be the team to get the lone benefit of the doubt out of the 16 years of sample size here? Would that shock anybody? I mean,
no, nothing would shock.
There's been one team not do it. Carolina went 18-11 in whatever year that was. And then, but they won the East. They went 1-2 in Hoover, won 19 games. They went 19-13.
If I am an Ole Miss fan this weekend, I would like Georgia to beat Arkansas. I'd like to win the West to be able to say that
I'm the 2 seed and I have a banner.
I've got a banner and we beat them on the field and
I won the number one division in college baseball.
Yes, that would help. Because if the committee, it's my opinion, okay, the following is Neil McCready's completely uneducated, except for covering this thing for 20-something years, opinion. If the committee wants to put one in Fayetteville and not in Oxford, Arkansas winning the West would be enough for them to do it. Am I, now, let me say this before everybody loses their mind. Is that fair? No. But if you're waiting on fairness from the NCAA selection committee, I submit that you probably should pack your lunch because it's going to be a long wait.
You're so skeptical.
Would you like to disagree with that skepticism at this point? I mean, seriously, would you?
Well, no, but... But we, and now look, we're the ones that point this out more than anybody, so I'm not completely hammering us here. We do occasionally, though, fall into the NCAA being one entity instead of made up of humans in different committees and different rooms and whatever. I mean, now look, this hadn't worked out with COIs because they are completely on the take, but the baseball selection committee is just a bunch of ADs and coaches. What?
On the take.
Am I wrong?
No, I've just never heard it put that way.
Okay.
On the take means there's incentive financially for them to make a ruling.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Would you 100%, if gun to head, go, hey, Neil, if Chase is right, bang. Would you be a little nervous?
I wouldn't take that bet. If you made me bet one way or the other, I would bet that they are. I've just never...
We haven't ever really gone that far.
Put in those terms. No, the committee's made up of coaches and ADs and
such. Well, here's the
such.
Committee. Here is your committee. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, sure.
All right, the committee is, let's see, where is it?
You here posted it this yesterday.
Yeah, I have it. Christopher Del Conte, he is the AD at the University of Texas, used to be the AD at TCU.
He used to coach, didn't he?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
He's an AD.
All right.
Got Joe Carglund. He is the AD at Rice University.
Okay.
So a lot of Texas here. We have a Southeast region representative, the athletic director at the University of South Carolina, Columbia, Ray Tanner.
He kind of knows some college baseball.
I have no problems with Ray Tanner on the committee whatsoever.
No, so far, I'm good.
We have East region Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University AD, Whit Babcock.
Okay.
We put him on a hot board at one point. That name sounds kind of familiar.
Maybe
we put a lot of people on hot boards.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
We've made money off hot boards.
Steven Robertello, he is the co-interim director of athletics at Neil's favorite place, the Fresno State University.
Yes, sir.
We have Mike.
Well, he's the one that might say, hey, we can't get this done yet. We got to need a couple extra days here at Indy.
Okay. That's the problem?
He might say, I don't want to go home.
We got Mike Babinski. He is the VP and Director of Intercollegiate Athletics at Purdue University. Because, I mean, really, when we're talking college baseball, I need the guy from Purdue in the room to give me his thoughts on the matter. That's important.
Yeah.
We've got the AD at Elon University, David Blank. Okay. We have the AD.
His last name is Blank?
No, it's Blank.
Oh, okay.
We have the AD at Furman University, Mike Buddy. B-U-D-D-I-E.
Those are two schools, Elon and Furman, seriously, that are like really growing among college kids.
Really?
Yeah. Both schools are taking off.
Elon is the Phoenix and Furman is the Paladins.
Okay.
Your stuff for the day. Let's see. We got Benjamin Shove. He is the assistant commissioner of the Northeast Conference.
Okay.
Up there somewhere. Is that like Binghamton?
Yeah. I mean, why is he on the committee?
Geographic equality. Yeah. You need Northern and East people on the committee.
Got to grow the sport.
So you don't think a guy from the Mid-Atlantic should be on the committee?
Mid-Atlantic?
Well, that's fine. Northeast is your problem.
Yeah, they play baseball.
You don't
need
a dude
from
Boston on the committee, in your opinion.
Not really. Okay. The Red Sox are not making the tournament.
And then the AD at the University of San Francisco, Robert Scott Sidwell, sorry. That is your committee.
Okay.
You don't see any major flaws in that?
I mean, I could nitpick it, but it's okay.
If you were the czar, what would the committee be?
Be a bunch of people that would stretch from about north, as high up as, no further up than Virginia. We'd go down the coast.
Would it be coaches and ADs? Would you consider media? What would you do? How would you make it up?
I'd have some former coaches.
Former coaches?
Yes. Have some former coaches who understood the game.
Ray Tanner.
Yeah, Ray Tanner's fine, yeah, of course. I would probably include some media people who had seen teams. Wouldn't have to be national people, but people who had seen teams. And then I don't know that I'd put a whole bunch of ADs and stuff. And nothing against the ADs of the world. I don't know that.
Would you have an analytics guy in there to break down some tiebreakers?
Yes. And that's probably where
I would have a computer nerd in there to go, hey, here's kind of where they are.
Yeah, and you probably could accomplish some of that with with media.
Yeah.
Some of the media people are analytic nerds.
Yeah.
Who could say, well, let's look at the strength of schedule and why they got there. Let's, instead of just looking at the raw numbers, let's talk about why.
Yeah. What happened? What does this look like?
Yeah.
See, I think to this day, I think Ole Miss has a plus in this column. Because when it gets down to tiebreakers or looking at schedules and somebody goes, hey, 190 in the non-conference scheduling, I think there's going to be some guys, because they always want to prop up the West Coast, that goes, guys, they went to Long Beach. They tried. They couldn't help. Long Beach sucked. Like, I think it gives them a slight tiebreaker for some reason. I think playing a perennial West Coast power on the road, even though the power had a down year, is a positive for Ole Miss in that room for whatever reason. I just do.
Look, I think we're joking around and interrupting each other. If Ole Miss wins two in Tuscaloosa this weekend, I think they're a national seed.
Even 0-2 in Hoover?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
So you think they break the precedent by two games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this year, the way the field works.
Okay.
I think the only scenario where Ole Miss gets hurt is if, because I think the three SEC teams are going to get national seeds. I think the only scenario where Ole Miss gets hurt is it makes a mess of itself in Tuscaloosa.
Just win two.
Doesn't fare well in Hoover, and they get passed by either Georgia or South Carolina.
Well, Georgia or Arkansas.
Arkansas, I mean.
Yeah. Carolina's RPI is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, no, Arkansas and Georgia are like 3 and 4 in RPI right now.
The one thing I will say is if South Carolina were to replace Ole Miss as the three, it might give the committee an excuse to say, hey, let's just leave it at two. Because other than Ray Tanner, no one in that room is going to be fighting for the SEC.
Mike and Ray are tight for whatever that's worth. I mean, I don't know that it helps, but it definitely doesn't hurt.
It helps.
Think so?
Yes.
Less likely to fight for a guy that you're not buddies with.
Ray Tanner's a baseball guy. I mean, he cheers for the Gamecocks, but Ray Tanner likes baseball. He knows what kind of a program Mike has run for two decades. He knows how hard it is to run a program for two decades the way that Mike's done it.
Tanner's the guy that would give Ole Miss a lot of push and the benefit of the doubt when it's heads up with Stetson for the number 8 spot or something like that.
I guarantee you Tanner's going in there thinking at least 3 of the 4 SEC teams up at the top.
We got to find a way to get 3 of these dudes.
Yeah, you know Florida's getting one.
Arkansas or Georgia is getting one.
Yeah.
I think. Georgia has a little bit of a weird resume. Arkansas's got a good resume. So
Arkansas's got a really good resume. Arkansas would love nothing more than for Ole Miss to go to Alabama and make a mess of itself, and they win the West, and they go to Hoover with no pressure at all.
Yeah. So, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Sauk County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year, and all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting, understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float-down option. So lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. It's 10 years now of business for 7 South Tailgating. If you tailgate with 7 South once, you'll never tailgate without them again. They can set up your personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one can match their customer service, their attention to detail. Whether you're coming up for one game, whether you're coming up for every home game, or whether you're maybe making all SEC games or just two or three games, whatever, they'll hook you up. Get in touch with them, 7southtailgating.com. Tell Kyle that you heard about it here on the podcast. Mississippi Flood Football Club tryouts begin tonight at 5:30 at FNC Park. They continue on Sunday, which is May the 20th, at 3 at the same beautiful FNC Park. Mississippi Flood Football is the Oxford-based club that has become North Mississippi's premier competitive soccer program. It's run by volunteers to provide a structured competitive environment for your child, ranging from ages 8 to 19, both boys and girls. For more information, call Chuck Trost at 662-801-3783. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with the live person. There's no 10 buttons to push, no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
Just a quick heads up. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but for the Ferris Award, 90% of it's scouts and coaches. So, yeah, there's a fan vote, but it's worth 10%. It's not worth a large percentage. So, like if somebody texts me and goes, hey, Olenek's leading the vote, well, he's leading the fan vote. And that's worth something. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not the overall vote. 90% is coaches and scouts. Jake Mangum made a lot of friends around Ole Miss yesterday, tweeting that he voted for Ryan Olenek for the Ferris Award.
Saw that. I saw where they've removed him from the university.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they kicked him out.
You think there's a percentage of state people that would be very annoyed by that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah. The percentage that tweets at me.
You don't think you can spin that as, see, he has class unlike the other people?
He does have class.
Isn't that the spin there, though?
I mean, the only reason...
I'm not criticizing.
The only reason Ole Miss people hate Mangum is because Mangum kills them.
Yeah, he's hitting like 500 or something.
Yeah, I mean, he destroys Ole Miss pitching.
I still don't blame Mike for walking him.
No. He was going to get a hit.
We don't know that. He gets out half the time.
I was going to say, I got a coin toss chance of being right. He's a hell of a good baseball player.
Ole Miss needs him to go pro.
Well, I'm sure Mike would love to send him a congratulatory text, letter. Email.
It's an easy chance for a little barb at the Ferris Award when they're all up there talking like, hey, Jake.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it, but bye.
Really hope you do well in the draft.
Yeah. Good luck with the Red Sox next season, Jake.
I'd be happy to see you gone.
I saw Matt Luke visited with Ryan Brown and our buddies on the round table, I think, yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of you guys have already heard most of it. He reiterated that he leaned on David Cutcliffe and Dabo Swinney last year during the interim season. He's talked about that a little bit, but
pick worse coaches to lean on.
Yeah, I think Dabo surprised some people, but Dabo had been in a very similar situation and was willing probably to give pretty decent advice during that.
According to everyone who knows him, Dabo's a little eccentric, but he's a really good guy. He's like a really good guy Jim Harbaugh, not a fake Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, Jim's, come on.
Jim's turned into a cartoon character.
He fails again. How much stream does he have? Could he be fired at the end of the year?
No. It's going to take a lot of people.
How long do you get?
Well, it's just for a lot of people. It's once you fire Jim Harbaugh, you admit that maybe nothing works here anymore.
He hasn't even finished second in his division yet.
I'm aware. And he's not going to finish second this year.
Don't think so.
I told you, I think they could lose six games.
So they're going to devastate potentially their program to keep a guy just because he's their guy.
A lot of ego involved in the Jim Harbaugh thingy.
Yeah, you're admitting not just failure, but ultimate failure when you fire Jim Harbaugh, at whatever point that is. I mean, just disaster of a...
Well, you are admitting that the program maybe can't be what it once was. You're admitting that the program maybe has been passed.
But why can't it?
Well, I don't
know. I mean, we never prop up Michigan, but seriously, why can't it?
I've never been to Ann Arbor. I can't speak to what it's like or isn't like. I don't know. A lot of the advantages that Michigan had in the glory days are no longer advantages. Everybody has a national recruiting budget. Everybody's on TV all the time. Michigan used to be one of the when I was a kid, for example, in the 70s and 80s, and there was no 400 games on TV every Saturday, you got certain games, and you got Michigan a lot. You saw Michigan a lot. You knew who Michigan was. When you were a kid in Ruston, Louisiana, you knew who Michigan was. You knew who Penn State was. You knew who Ohio State was. You knew Alabama and Auburn and LSU and USC and UCLA, Nebraska, Oklahoma. Those were the programs that you saw on TV in some rotation. Now you see everybody. So that advantage is out the window. They have a big stadium. So does everybody else.
Yeah, whatever.
That is no longer a big deal. They've got...
See, they should have been helped by their conference being better. That should be a positive. We're going to play Ohio State. We're going to play Penn State. We're going to play Michigan State every year. That should be a plus.
It should be, but my point is that, you know, and then you get into the whole weather thing, which isn't a big deal to a lot of people, but, you know, their ability to recruit the South in the old days is...
Oh, the thought that he was just going to come down and start taking everybody out of Georgia and Alabama that Alabama and Georgia wanted. Come on.
Yeah, it was ludicrous.
He ended up going and grabbing that kid from Prattville, no offense to him, but it was like this low three-star kid to go, see, got in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
You and I have been doing this for a while together. Whenever anybody's name comes up from Alabama, I always say, does he have an offer from Alabama and Auburn? And if the answer's no, 99 times out of 100, that's a red flag. If he doesn't have an offer from either one, usually a red flag. Not always, but usually.
Just seeing this. I'm going to go here in a second.
Okay.
You okay with this?
I'm so flexible.
All right. One of our not a friend of the podcast, Brandon Marcello. I see on Twitter that he has he's going after you. He never really goes after me. He and I think get along fairly enough. I don't ever speak to him, but
he's going after me again today?
No. I'm just
okay, cuz I'm blocked from his tweets.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're blocked, aren't you? After the Vaught Hemingway Stadium altercation?
Yes.
That wasn't an altercation?
At all.
He was mad because you didn't walk down the road and speak to him at the end of the night? Wasn't that what it was?
He was mad. He accused.
Well, he got mad about the scout thing, but later on,
he basically accused me of being a female anatomy part because I didn't confront him after the game. I just left. To be honest, it was midnight and I heard bourbon calling.
The Anchorman scene comes to mind. You ever tried it? I had a story this morning. It caught my attention because of this. It says the traditions is going on, or whatever it's called, at Greystone this week. The senior tour major.
Yes.
No, you're aware of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's the pro-am before the
Champions Tour major.
Yeah, yeah. It's at Greystone this year, right?
Yeah, Regions Tradition is the tournament.
Yeah.
So anyway, the lead goes, the competitive edge is apparently gone on the golf course for Auburn coach Gus Malzahn. The 6-year Auburn coach played Wednesday in the annual Regions Tradition pro-am without his usual buddies on the course, namely former Ole Miss coach Hugh Freeze. Quote, "I'd like to be more competitive, but this is the fourth round of golf I played in July, so I'm not going to be too competitive. I'm just going to try to enjoy it, get out and see the fans, blah, 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 blah. Kirby Smart's there, blah, 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 blah." But goes on to say in this that a lot of the reason is now that Hugh is not here, me and him would have had a little fun, but no, not too much. I think everybody's kind of locked in. The recruiting part just comes easy, enjoying themselves. Points out he's not having as good of a time because his buddy is not there on the golf course with him, namely one Hugh Freeze. You always thought it was a bit of an act. Do you still believe it's an act, or do you think they're friendlier than you thought during their tenure, is where I'm going with this. Sorry, I was kind of disjointed to get to my point, but that's where we are.
No, I basically followed it. I followed it enough.
Well, it was a little clickbaity. The actual quote didn't fit the lead, and then I had to kind of reverse myself to get to my point, so.
I think it's kind of easy to say that they're all pals now. I don't know. It always felt a little disingenuous to me. Not a lot, just some. Just kind of felt. Maybe it's because Malzahn has an odd personality. Gus never seemed to want to talk about it as much as Hugh did.
I get the different levels of this. I'm minusculely trying to compare the two. In the Cathead Distillery podcast of the day, when y'all did the live show.
Okay. You have to remind me what anyone said.
Jay made the comment about how you always hung out together and you hang out with other media members, even though you're trying to beat the crap out of one another throughout the process of whatever. Yeah. It's somewhat of a similar deal with coaches in a way. I mean, I get the levels are way different, but there's a similar odd camaraderie, if you will, to it. So I guess my question is it fair to lump what they do from a program standpoint, from waivers and releases to how they act on the field? Is it fair to lump those into how good or not good of friends they are off the field in social settings?
No, of course not. Yeah, they all seem to like Saban personally, and yet nobody runs the program, their program, with the iron fist that Saban does as it pertains to transfers and things of that nature. You know, I mean, like, Saban will not release, unless the league mandates it, he will not release a kid to another SEC school, period. Even if it's a kid that he probably knows, there's no way that kid can hurt me. Just won't do it. Doesn't want to set the precedent. Freeze did a lot of things really well at Ole Miss. He did a lot of things really poorly at Ole Miss. In many ways, I think Freeze could have taken a few chapters from Gus Malzahn. He might still be the coach at Ole Miss if he had. Think about it, well, I mean, Gus is not on Twitter.
Okay, other than that. Because he could have taken the lead from a lot of people on that.
Gus very rarely makes it about Gus, in fairness to Gus. I mean, I used to think Malzahn was kind of fake, and I've been proven wrong. Malzahn's just kind of who he is. He's pretty true to himself, which makes it sometimes kind of odd, but I think that's genuinely who he is. I think Malzahn's a ball coach who likes to coach ball. He likes drawing up plays and stuff. And I think if Freeze would have stuck to that portion of coaching, he might still be coaching.
It's kind of like that first year he was really good on the field. Really good.
Really good on the field most of the years he was at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Offensively, they were kind of dynamic. I mean, they never could run the ball consistently, which hurt them. There were some fourth down issues, some third and short issues that were always schematic things that in many ways you look back knowing what you know today. And again, this is hindsight being 20/20. If they could have just focused on football, they might have gotten some of that cleaned up and been a booger bear, as Tommy Tuberville used to say, a rolling ball of butcher knives. It could have been some of those things. But they were always a distracted program. I've never sensed with Malzahn that they're much of a distracted program.
Including dealing with some really weird situations with the quarterback stuff, with Jeremy Johnson and all that over the years.
And, I mean, let's face it, he's had to deal with Nick Saban the whole damn time.
Was that Tommy's good one, rolling ball of butcher knives?
He would say that, yeah. He would say, we had it going, we were a rolling ball of butcher knives. The first time I heard it, I thought that was so funny. And by the end, you'd heard it so many times, it was like, eh. Yeah, the first time he said that, it was on a Sunday. It was one of those day after things. And we would do a teleconference, and the other media would call in and get stuff. And then he would sit and talk with us for 30 minutes, because otherwise he'd had to go to football practice. And so he's talking, and he goes, we were a rolling ball of butcher knives. You're like, wait, what? He hadn't heard that before? Rolling ball of butcher knives. Never heard that. I'll cut you up, rolling ball of butcher knives. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess it would.
It would.
And that was really good. So I don't know. I mean, I just think – I don't doubt that the two men are friends. I always questioned how much friends they were.
Or if it was more on one side than the other even.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because there is, and you know exactly what I'm referring to here. I don't want to throw people out under the bus. There was one particular situation where Freeze mentioned being really good friends with another coach in the league, and someone asked that other coach, and he was like, no, I mean, hardly know the guy. We, being the really negative people that we are, didn't report that. Yeah. We just let it go.
Sorry. Podcast brought to you.
You know who I'm referring to, right?
Yeah. Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service, specializing in Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining and fast pass, transportation, anything else related to your vacation, an expert in getting you out of line and onto more rides no matter the crowds. Mention the podcast, get a $25 Disney gift card for booking a vacation. So you can find him for a free, no obligation quote at Brandon at KeysToDreamTravel.com or 901-634-8687 and ask about the possibility of free dining.
Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry's an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site, HarryAlexander.com. You can send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan, located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700. Or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com. It's time to sign that annual contract. Get some pressure washing options as well, including free pressure washing of your driveway and sidewalks or $50 off pressure washing jobs of more than 2,000 square feet. Again, 662-607-7773. I get this Brady Bunch thing about once every 5-6 months, and I'm currently dealing with it again. It's getting harder to talk as we go here.
You are beginning to have a Peter Brady moment.
Well, you have to talk just a little louder than you normally would, and it's just enough to kind of irritate and squeak a little bit. Might be in trouble the rest of the week.
Yeah, it's just Wednesday.
Here. Yeah, I know. What's the goal? Is it lemon and honey water at night? What do you do? You gargle? What's the answer here?
Yeah, I will usually gargle some salt water, and then I'll do a little lemon and honey and some tea. You like tea at all? Can you get it down?
It's hot okay. Tea. I mean, I'd rather have something else, but it's okay.
But you can get it down?
Yeah.
If you can get it down, put that in some tea. Or just get some straight bourbon and just drink it.
You think that would work too?
Yeah. And you sleep better.
A little honey with a bourbon?
You could put a little honey in your bourbon. I'm not going to come arrest you.
Okay.
Some purist might get mad, but you don't have to tell them.
Ole Miss on the final day, by the way, of the men's regional in College Station. They'll probably be done with this by the time you hear it. But anyway, here's the update. They are currently in fifth place. They are +3 for the tournament. That is 2 shots back of fourth and 10 shots ahead of sixth. The top five advance to the national championship. So they currently have a 10-shot cushion on the final day to make the national championships in Stillwater, Oklahoma at Carston Creek. So there's your update.
So they're in College Station now and they'll go to Stillwater?
That is correct, yes. A&M on its home course is very comfortable on its home course. They are 20 under to lead the field currently.
It's pretty good.
It's not really fair, frankly. I don't like that they play the regionals on home courses.
I don't either. I don't know anything about
it. Because a lot of times it's not even the top seed getting the host thing. It's just a random team in the tournament getting the host.
And in golf, that's a huge advantage.
Oh, gosh.
It's a massive advantage. It's not like basketball where the court's the same. And you do the whole Hoosiers deal.
No, nothing's the same. It's
yeah. No, if you've played a particular hole hundreds of times, you have an advantage over someone who's never played that hole.
Yeah. Well, you got to hit the ball actually 75 yards right. Well, how would I ever in the heck know that? Here you are. So.
Congratulations to them, though. That's a major accomplishment to make the national.
Well, they haven't yet.
Well, they're going to. They have a 10-shot lead.
It's a team format. There's 5 players. That's only 2 shots per person.
Yeah, they're fine.
Did you see what I did last night?
No.
I got jumped on Twitter a little bit. So I made this tweet last night. Hold on. People will enjoy this if they haven't seen it. I didn't feel well. Like at this point last night, I thought I had the flu. I don't have the flu, but I was really, really struggling last night.
Okay.
And I said, I've got some stuff I want to get out, and I'm going to have a hard time waiting to the end of this game. I just know how this is going. I'm going to struggle. So in the top of the sixth, this was at 8:50 p.m., I tweeted, I think the 8-run lead is safe. Barring a meltdown, this will be the quickest to 40 wins in school history and the most non-SEC regular season wins in school history. 40 is also the school record for regular season wins, the fifth time. This whatever. The next guy hits a home run for Arkansas State. Then there's like a double, and then there's a walk, and there's another home run. It went 10-6 in about 3.5 minutes. And to the majority of my Twitter followers, I was 100% completely to blame for that, even though I did not throw a pitch in the game last night. But then Gray Kessinger, I appreciate him. He hits a solo home run the next half inning and pushes it back out a little bit. And we were okay, but I was getting a little Twitter hate mail last night as I finished that off. Because there is a certain baseball god nature to things, but I felt good about an 8-run lead in Jonesboro in the sixth inning last night. It held up.
I was just looking at some of the feedback.
I had fun with that, and then I had fun with asking them if they'd be really comfortable if Ole Miss wore the gray jerseys with the West on the line on Saturday in Tuscaloosa, and they would not have felt comfortable in that situation.
Okay, do you think we had any role at all? I want you to ask Mike this. Because otherwise, I'll end up asking Mike this, and since I haven't been out there to cover a game in 2 years.
Probably shouldn't lead with that.
It probably won't go well. I could probably ask it after they won, like, a conference tournament.
They beat Vanderbilt or whomever. That
like,
first
if they abandon, if they abandon the gray jerseys for good.
Well, they wore them last night.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they wore them last night.
They haven't worn them in a conference game.
No. Including they wore the red on gray, which Mike hates.
So what role, if any, do you think we played in that?
Well, okay.
We were vocal.
I think we had an indirect role. I don't know that we necessarily were the reason it happened, but I do think they caught tons of social media flack, and I think we did kind of pitchfork that flack a
little
bit.
Were we the catalyst for that flack?
We were probably the catalyst for a little flack.
So we caused this.
Well, I mean, that's one
way to look at it. We got this done.
They're going to take them to Tuscaloosa this weekend. You know it's coming. They're going to wear them they're going to wear them on Friday.
Better not lose.
You wouldn't take them, would you?
Hell no, I wouldn't take them.
They're 3-5 in gray jerseys this season.
No way in hell I'd take them. They keep winning that third game.
In the Powder Blues.
I'd wear those sons of bitches till they tore up.
Yeah, they're like 10-1 or 11-1 or something in the Powder Blue this season.
I would already have called Nike and said, hey, we need to order some more of those because we're about to wear these out.
You know, LSU did that a few years ago. They just wore the gold jerseys every game for a little while.
Because that's why they were winning. You're the one laughing. I'm not laughing at all. If
that's why you think you're winning, that's why you're winning.
If you go on a winning streak wearing your yellow BP jerseys and suddenly you can't lose, you're winning because of the yellow BP jerseys. And if you take them off and put another jersey on and you lose, you did it to yourself. You beat yourself. No, you ride that thing until it won't go anymore.
They're going to wear the navy on the gray probably on Thursday. Friday is going to be decision day, and then Saturday they'll wear the powder blues on the road to finish the year.
If I were Alabama, I would wear my red top.
To keep them from wearing the red?
To keep them from wearing red and force their hand. Now, Alabama has nothing to gain, and they just want to go home.
You think they're even aware of this? Probably not. But
all they can think about is two things. One, they're going to have a blowout baseball team party on Saturday night.
Think so?
Yes.
Somebody's going to host a rager?
Somebody is hosting. We're going to get a lot of frustration out in one night. And then they're thinking, where is the vacation starting Sunday? Where are we going? Beach?
The way they've been beaten down all year, you know the guy that's having to like go to the Cape is going, oh, my God, more baseball? Come on.
Oh, yeah. No, he needs a baseball break. Those guys want to go to like a beach for 6 days and not see a baseball. That'd probably be a good way to get into a fight. Hey, you want to play catch? No, I'd rather.
If Alabama wore their red tops with their white pants, could Ole Miss wear their pinstripes? Would that be allowed? Could you wear pinstripes on the road?
I mean, I guess you could. That's really messing up baseball karma.
Wearing your home uniform on the road.
But you could wear your powder blues.
You could wear the powder blue. Because that's what happened against, you know, Vanderbilt. They wore the grays because Vanderbilt wore their navy blues. Still an odd statement to make, but Vanderbilt wore their navy blues 2 games, and it forced Ole Miss into their grays.
See, that might have been Corbin.
I think they might have lost both games in the non-conference in them, too. They might have wore them Governor's Cup and in Long Beach the day they lost. I know they wore them the day in Long Beach they lost.
Yeah, there's just no way. There's just no way. You don't wear the gray jerseys. I'm shocked they wore them last night. It tells you last night didn't matter.
Okay. Just wondering. Just a thought. Vanderbilt got a much-needed win over Middle Tennessee, by the way, last night, because they're in a little bit of trouble. They need as many wins as they can get in whatever way they can – they can get them to somehow make the postseason with a little engine that could. And anyway.
The little engine that could.
Yeah.
That's good.
You're going to Fayetteville this weekend. No baseball there, so you can't take in a game.
No baseball.
Might be something else.
Like what?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of curious, though, as we close today or whatever we're doing. Again, I can't talk, so whatever. Do you try to force some sort of social function on her, though? Like, is there, hey, you need to kind of see what this place is a little bit. Not just Arkansas, anywhere.
Yeah. That some of that will be later this summer, and some of that will be very early in the fall if this gets more real. Like, okay, well, you got to go up there. And she's got a friend who's going up there from OHS this year, and she'll have to go up there and do the weekend thingy. Go hang out in a dorm, go to parties or whatnot.
Okay.
Get a feel for the people. We're still very much in the get a feel for what you like.
Or what even the possibilities are, for that matter.
Yeah. Like, you know, and she gets frustrated because we're like, well, you know, she wants to look at Auburn. And so we said, well, why don't you look at Samford on the way to Auburn?
Don't want to look at Samford.
Because Samford's in it's not only is it in Birmingham, it's in the really pretty part of Birmingham.
They have a gorgeous campus.
It's a gorgeous campus. It's a neat school.
It is.
I don't know anything about it. Maybe it's awesome. Maybe it's not. The people who I know who have gone there loved it, which may or may not mean anything. I don't know. Her attitude was, I don't want to keep adding schools.
It's kind of the point right now,
and it's like, yeah, but you kind of need to add schools. You need to look at schools.
She seems already kind of put out with the process. And it's so early to be put out with the process.
Well, and you know, this is that deal. Campbell, if you're listening, sorry. And if you're listening, why? She's 17. And so when you're 17, like every other 17-year-old who has ever lived, your life is very now, and you're very self-focused, not in a bad way, but just your life is very,
yeah.
It's right there in front of you. I mean, for those of you who have ESPN9 at home, my hands are right in front of my face. And so it's, well, my friends are doing this, and I've got this, and I'm doing this. And she, to her credit, she has a job, and it's hard to get off from work and things of that nature. And so going on another trip is, okay, well, I've got to clear off work and I've got to, all those things. So you know how that is. It's. I think in her mind, she'd love just to get it over with. And, okay, I'm going here and I make my plans. And we're like, but you need to make sure that's what you want to do. We support it. I mean, we're not. Literally, I have discouraged one school. That's it. I haven't encouraged or discouraged any other schools. One. I've discouraged one school. And no, it's not Ole Miss, for those of you who think it's that.
No, it's not.
I have not expressed an opinion, pro or con, regarding Ole Miss in this search. I have expressed one con opinion. And in the midst of saying, hey, in another world, it probably would be a pretty good choice.
When I leave today, I probably should head over to G&M Pharmacy in Oxford on South Lamar, as I certainly need something to get through the rest of the day and week. They're also available in Holly Springs with Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, a great app. And you give them a call at 662-252-2321 is the phone number to fill out the form. Make it easy. Give me your doctor's name. They'll deliver wherever you are. And in Oxford, it is the local delivery with great hometown service.
You don't need that for this, though. You need something different.
What do I need?
You don't need the little pill.
You need a different kind of pill this time. I need...
That's not going to help you at all.
I don't think that would assist my issues at the moment. It would not be a pragmatic decision.
It would not be prudent. As a former president once said, hey, Ole Miss fans, living in or moving to Dallas, if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metroplex, give Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's a call. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top 10 agent producer in D Magazine, was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. Call Lauren, 469-867-1100. 1734 or go to her site, laurenandkelly.com. Podcast is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. Rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, credit scores down to 580. They'll get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. Jeffrey Wright will join us tomorrow on the Billy's Pecans hotline. Let Billy's Pecans handle your corporate gifting. Let them handle anything. If you just want to get some appetizers for a party you're having at the house, if you just want some stuff to, some treats to be around the house, they'll take care of that. But as it pertains to corporate gifting, if it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral, they can handle it. 5,000 to 5,000 orders, whatever. They'll handle it with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern styles and with items at every price point. You simply can't choose wrong. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. And don't forget, head over to the Oxford Crystal tomorrow morning. I think anytime between 5 and 11 counts.
Yeah, it's 5 and 11. We talked about it a little opening of the show. It's yeah. 5 to 11, all breakfast sales to assist those that need.
100% of breakfast sales. So go in and get your breakfast at the Oxford Crystal. Get a great meal and also be a nice gesture. We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Geez, I'm struggling.
What do you want from the Oxford Crystal tomorrow? I'll go get you breakfast. Do you want breakfast?
You gonna get breakfast?
I'll go get it for you. What do you want?
I like the gravy and biscuits. Those are my favorite. The chicken and biscuits aren't bad.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the chicken and biscuits.
You like the chicken biscuits?
I like chicken biscuits a lot.
I like the little scramblers too. The little cup things with the
eggs. That's what Jeffrey writes. Well, Jeffrey likes it all.
We'd go in for the live shows at Crystal, and Jeffrey would just order the entire menu.
Yeah.
Actually, they only just brought a bunch of stuff.
But that was his thing, was the scrambler.
He liked the scrambler.
He likes that.
Yeah. That is accurate.
I'm not a big egg person, are you?
No, not even a little
bit. Yeah, I'm not either.
It's got to be the right situation. I'll eat them on breakfast sandwiches sometimes.
Yeah.
But
I typically don't.
I don't get breakfast plates usually at restaurants because of the egg. I have no interest in it.
But those chicken biscuits, I'm good.
I'm more of a breakfast fan with Crystal than I am a lunch or dinner fan.
Yeah.
More kind of my thing.
Yeah. I like those chicken biscuits a lot.
So, more coverage today. Ole Miss headed to Tuscaloosa. Headed today. Play tomorrow night over there, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And, hey, if there's rain, Sunday too maybe. So,
congrats. You get to stay another day.
The SEC is forward-thinking. They are fixing their issues one at a time. I have no idea really what it meant, but prayers for all Grizzlies fans. They seem frustrated by the draft lottery last night.
They're going to be okay. They won the second or third pick, not the fourth, but the fourth pick.
Hawks got the third.
Michael Porter Jr. very much in play at number four for the Grizz. Speaking of basketball, I expect Ole Miss to land a commitment today from Carlos Curry. He's a 6'11 kid out of center/power forward, whatever, out of Georgia. See what James Harden said today before game two? I can't do it by myself. We need everybody to be at their top play.
Things LeBron would not say.
Oh, Mr. Beard.
They're going to get killed. 4-1.
And for those of you who jumped me about Brad Stevens when I said he's the best coach in the world.
He did not get a single vote from other NBA coaches.
Well, he's the best coach.
Why do you think he didn't get a vote? Envy?
A little envy. I think people said, well, you
know. Hadn't earned it yet.
Maybe. Doesn't seem to be particularly upset.
Pretty much every franchise in the NBA would trade their coach for him right now.
Yes.
Most of them.
You want to make it – you want to, the worst part about the whole Kevin Durant thing is the Thunder, in an attempt to keep Kevin Durant, the year before they fired Scott Brooks and hired Billy Donovan, they were going to fire Scott Brooks and hire Brad Stevens.
Welp. Curious, since we talked a lot of horse racing yesterday, odds for the Preakness are out, justified. The favorite at 4 to 11. So you have to pay $11 to win four with justified. Heavy favorite, Good Magic, second at 7-2. So there they are. If you'd like to waste some money, tenfold is a long shot at 30-1. Don't like his chances.
No, I don't like his chances.
Good Magic, Quip, Diamond King, Bravazo, Sporting Chance, Lone Sailor, and Tenfold are the horses. So, not a big field. Some horses resting for the Belmont here in a few weeks.
Congratulations to Team Blue Delta. They went 14-0 in the Tupelo Park and Rec League.
Really?
Six and 7 year old coach pitch division.
There you go.
There you go.
It's impressive. Undefeated's good.
Yeah. It's awesome.
All right. I can't talk anymore, so we'll talk to you tomorrow. Beer Garden, soft verbal tomorrow, I believe, is the schedule.
Beer Garden is done. It'll be up today. The greatest pod in the South is being taped today, so it should be up today. And then we are taping the soft verbal tomorrow, about this time tomorrow, 10 o'clock.
All right. We'll talk to Jeffrey, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.